Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. We had some last-minute technical difficulties with the episode that we were planning to release today, so instead, we're revisiting a story from August 2016 called The Sealskin Girl. We originally released this in two parts, but we put it together for you this time. We hope you're all staying healthy and finding things to do at home together, and we'll be back with a brand new story next week like usual.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, you can team up with friends in Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Where you can meet talking flowers.
Life's full of surprises.
And where piranha plants sing.
And where Mario, Luigi, and Peach turn into elephants.
Wowie zowie!
And where this announcer turns into a...
super tiny announcer!
That's not in the game.
Sorry, got a little excited. Nintendo Switch, the home of Mario and friends. Game rated E for everyone. Game and system sold separately.
Thanks. Enjoy the episode. The Sealskin Girl.
Chapter 1. The Ardnock Life. Liam stared glumly out the window as his mom wound their car ever deeper into the Irish countryside. They had left Dublin behind early that same morning, but already it felt a world away. For the past hour or so, Liam had been counting sheep and houses. He was at 11 sheep and only 2 houses. Not the best sign if you liked city living. Liam loved city living.
"Why do I have to stay with Graham?" he asked for the 100th time.
"Liam," said his mother, her eyes impatient in the rearview mirror.
"Your father and I have to go to America for business. You know this."
"Yeah, but why can't I go with you?"
She twisted in the seat.
"Liam, that's enough. We've been over this a dozen times this week. We'll be too busy to watch you, and New York City is no place for a child on their own. Now sit back and..."
"Mom!"
The car screeched as she slammed on the brakes, skidding sideways and stopping just short of a pair of sheep lazily crossing the leaf-strewn road.
"Oh, my gracious," she said. "Liam, are you all right?"
Liam swallowed and watched the 2 fat sheep shuffle across the road, pausing only to baa at the car.
13, said Liam, after his heart stopped pounding. 13 sheep.
It was another hour before they finally rolled to a stop in Ardnock, a sleepy little village on a high cliff on the western coast. Here, at least, there were more houses than sheep, though not by much. A few of the homes were built right on the cliff edge, giving beautiful views straight down into the cold waters of the Atlantic, where seals frolicked in the surf. Liam thought that was exciting, at least a little, but of course his Graham's house wasn't one of the exciting ones. Her home was just a street behind, with a not-so-beautiful view of several other small cottages, though Liam could still hear the sea raging 100 feet below. Graham was all hugs and cheek pinches when he walked in, but by the time he had put away his bag in the guest room and said goodbye to his mother, she was already asleep in her chair. Liam pulled the quilt over her legs and gave her a kiss.
"This should be a thrilling summer," he said,
watching the last of the sunshine slanting in the windows. It was pretty, he had to admit. In the heart of Dublin where he grew up, the sun was behind a building more often than not this late in the day. Here, though, it rode low on the horizon and set the sky candy pink and orange. It probably looked even better over the ocean. With a guilty look at his Graham, Liam slipped quietly out the front door. There was only one house between him and the water, a tall manor built right on the edge of the cliff. Liam crossed the side of their yard and walked right up to the cliff edge. The sun was beautiful low over the ocean.
"Like a watercolor done by God's own hand," he thought.
As it sank lower, darkness creeping in, Liam got the sudden sensation that he wasn't alone. He glanced all around, and finally, he saw her. A woman stood high up on a little balcony that jutted out from the manor and hung over the sea. His mother would have called that balcony a widow's walk, because that's where women used to wait for their husbands to return from their voyages at sea. If the woman on the walk now was a widow, Liam couldn't have said, but she was very beautiful, though in a strange way. Her hair was a mottled gray and fawn, patches of color running together in an unnatural pattern. Her eyes were large and dark and lustrous, like rich black pearls, but sad. Her whole face was sad. She stood statue still, gazing dreamily at the surging sea.
"Hey! Hey, kid!"
Liam nearly jumped out of his skin. An old man banged out of the manor's back door and stalked towards him. He was tall and gnarled, wearing a long ash-colored rain cape and an old hat, lumpy with layers of tar for waterproofing.
"You! What are you doing in me yard? Now you're in for it."
Liam opened his mouth to speak, but was drowned out by a whooping siren. A second later, a beat-up police car pulled into the crushed shell driveway of the manor. A stout constable with a great black beard swung himself out.
"Hi, Mr. Carver. I got your call. What's all this about?"
The gnarled old man, Mr. Carver, Liam assumed, gestured at Liam with a bony hand.
"I found this one on my property."
He pulled his other hand out from under his rain cape. It was clutching a black wooden club as gnarled and mean as its owner.
"Stand aside, constable. I'm a thump this young'un some."
He started across the lawn, but the constable slid between the old man and Liam, hands raised in an open palm gesture of peace.
"Afraid I can't let you do that, Mr. Carver,"
the constable said.
"Why don't you put that shillelagh back inside and have a cup of tea? I'll take the young'un with me. A night in jail will sort him."
"Bah," spat Mr. Carver. "A thumping would sort him better, but Lord help us, you're the law."
Grumbling and cursing, he went back into his house, slamming the door behind him. Liam breathed a sigh of relief to see him go, until he realized what the constable had said.
"Do I really have to go to jail? I didn't do anything. I just came out to watch the sunset is all."
The constable put a hand on Liam's shoulder and walked him back to the car, ushering him into the back seat. When the doors were closed, the constable turned around and flashed Liam a grin.
"No, you're not going to jail. I just didn't want old man Carver thinking I let you off. You're no here, but you'll learn fast. Keep clear of him. He's meaner than a mountain goat and twice as stubborn."
Liam nodded, believing it.
"How'd you know I'm new?"
The constable chuckled.
"Ain't but 40 folks in the whole village, and 6 of those are me own kids, Lord help me. A new face, well, in Ardnock, you're what passes for a big news day. You're Liam Cullen, right? Staying with your gram next door."
Liam nodded.
"She's been talking you up for months. We've all been looking forward to meeting you. I know the village doesn't look like much for a kid from Dublin, but the kids round here manage."
He snapped his fingers as though he had a sudden idea.
"Tell you what, tomorrow I'll send me twins around, Connor and Kathy. They're about your age and always keeping busy. They'll show you around, help you make a couple of friends. What do you say?"
A couple friends sounded a lot better than a summer with just his sleepy Graham for company, even if she was the sweetest old lady in all of Ireland.
"That sounds great, Mr.
Constable Ryan, but you can call me Brian."
"Your name is Brian Ryan?"
The constable huffed.
"Aye, me dad thought he was a funny one. I catch you laughing and I'll bring you to jail for real, you hear me?"
Liam clapped a hand over his mouth and nodded.
"That's a good lad. Now go on, get home with you."
Liam got out of the car and took a couple steps. He suddenly remembered the woman on the widow's walk, the one with the strange mottled hair and black pearl eyes. When he looked up, though, there was no sign of her. The constable honked the horn.
"I said get home."
He ran across the lawn, slipped into his Graham's cottage, and went to sleep with his dreams full of the strange, sad woman staring at the sea. Chapter 2. Message in a Bottle. The next morning, Liam woke to the smell of sizzling sausages, or as his mom would say, bangers. He stumbled into the kitchen and his Graham served him a plateful, along with a couple eggs and half a diced potato.
"Growing boy, better eat up. I hear you have a big day with the constable's twins planned."
"How'd you know that?"
"Oh, little village like this, word gets round fast," she said with a smile. "I also heard you had a run-in with Mr. Carver. Best keep away from that one. He's always been strange, and he's only been stranger since he got that young wife of his. It's unnatural, if you ask me."
"What's unnatural?"
"A man his age marrying a girl that young. Maybe that flies in Dublin, but around here we're decent folks."
Liam didn't much care about age differences, but he knew better than to argue with Graham. Besides, who would want to be with someone as nasty as Mr. Carver, regardless of how old they were? There was a knock at the door.
"And that'll be the twins," said Graham.
"You have enough breakfast?"
"All right, have a good day. And no more getting picked up by the constable, you hear me? What would your mother think?"
Liam nodded, flushing with guilt, and stepped outside. He was greeted by a pair of nearly identical twins, both with dense freckled cheeks and carrot orange hair.
Liam! I'm Kathy. This is me brother Connor. We're excited you're here. Want to do something fun? What's Dublin like? Can you swim?
I'm a good swimmer, but Connor's afraid of the ocean.
I'm not afraid of the ocean, though. Do you like the ocean?
Liam shook his head, trying to process the waves of chatter.
Ah, easy, Kath,
drawled Connor.
Don't overwhelm the kid.
He turned back to Liam.
We're glad to meet you all. It can be pretty boring around here, especially during summer holiday when everyone leaves town on vacation. I'd guess you're the only person who left Dublin to come here. Usually it's the other way around.
Well, I guess I got tired of big city living, Liam said sarcastically.
Well, you came to the right place then. Oh, Connor, we can bring him to the seal spot. We haven't been in years, but it'll be new to Liam. Liam, do you like seals? We know a cove where they all come in and sunbathe on the beach. So many seals. Seals, seals, seals.
Connor rolled his eyes, but Liam found Kathy's excitement refreshing.
Can't say that I've ever seen a seal up close. Let's check out that spot.
Kathy cheered and led the way. They swung wide around Mr. Carver's yard and started down a well-hidden rocky path that zigzagged down the cliff face and towards the sea.
Heard you met Crazy Carver,
said Connor.
What a loon.
Yeah, said Liam. He tried to attack me with a shillelagh. The twins laughed.
Sounds about right,
Connor said.
He's always been a terror, but since he got that new wife, he's been 100 times worse.
They say he keeps her locked up and never lets her out, said Kathy. They say he tricked her into marrying him and now she can't leave. They say he's a wizard who cast a spell on her and now she has to love him forever or he'll curse her. They say no one's seen her in months.
I saw her,
said Liam, interrupting Kathy's steady stream.
Last night she was out on the widow's walk.
Really? What did she look like? What was she doing? Did she look tricked? Did she look spelled? Did she look cursed?
Liam shook his head.
Nah, she just looked sad is all. She was just staring out at the ocean. I only saw her for a minute, though, then Mr. Carver came out and yelled at me, and by the time your dad sorted it out, she was gone.
Crazy Carver,
Connor corrected absently.
And don't mind, Kathy. Those are all just crazy rumours. Me dad's been over to see Mr. Carver a handful of times since he's been married, and he said she's just quiet, that's all. Never says a word, but she's not locked up or anything. Besides, Mr. Carver has an office he works at in Derry. Once when he was gone, me father went over to the house to check on her like. She opened the door and waved at him. Not locked up at all. So he waved back and turned right around. They're just odd, that's all.
Or maybe he's got her voice locked up like in The Little Mermaid and she can't even ask for help.
Connor rolled his eyes and Liam got the feeling this wasn't the first time they'd had this argument.
She waved, Kath. Opened the door. If she was a prisoner, she wouldn't be able to just open the door and walk out while Crazy Carver was at work, now would she?
Kathy looked like she wanted to argue, but the half-hidden rocky path finally opened up, revealing a beautiful sandy cove hidden from above by crags in the cliff. Liam craned his neck up and could just make out the edge of the Carver's widow's walk, high above them.
Darn, there's no seals!
You scared him away with all your chatter,
Connor said.
Liam! Come over here and we'll hide. They'll come back once we're quiet.
He and Kathy led Liam across the little beach to a wide swath of tall grass higher than his head. It grew from the water all the way to the base of the rocky cliff. Connor got down to his belly and peered out through the swaying blades. Liam and Kathy did the same. Connor had to shush Kathy a few times, but eventually the seals returned. They were fat and happy-looking, big whiskered smiles on their sleek faces. Their skins were gray and white and black and fawn, some with spots and some all jumbled together. They all splashed each other in the water about 20 feet from the shore. There was a scraping and sliding noise from the path they had taken down the cliff. Liam expected the seals to bolt, but they waited, staring intently. The noises from the path got louder, and finally a woman came into view, looking all around like she was afraid of being seen.
"That's her," whispered Liam. "Carver's wife."
Kathy started to speak in her normal voice, but Liam and Connor both clapped their hands over her mouth, shushing her. She nodded, eyes wide, and spoke again, this time in a whisper.
"That's her? What's that in her hand?"
Liam hadn't noticed at first, but she was carrying something. She walked quickly to where the waves broke over the sand and lifted her hand high in the air, waving it at the seals. Liam saw sun glinting. She had an old glass bottle in her fist, sealed with a cork. Inside, there was a tight roll of paper. She cocked back her arm and threw the message in a bottle into the sea. It landed with a soft splash among the seals.
"What is she doing?" hissed Kathy.
Liam didn't know, but as he watched, a seal grabbed the bottle in its mouth and then dove beneath the waves. A moment later, the other seals followed. The strange woman gave them one last sad glance and then turned and climbed back up the rocky path.
"What did we just see?"
said Connor when she was gone.
"I don't know, but we should come back tomorrow,"
Liam said. The twins both nodded.
"Maybe this won't be such a boring trip after all,"
Liam thought.
Chapter 3. A Lullaby from the Sea.
The next day, Liam sprung from bed and wolfed down his breakfast. He was out the door before his gram could even say good morning. It was a bright summer day, and the twins were waiting for him at the top of the steep, hidden trail that wound down the cliffside to the secret beach.
"You think she'll come back today?"
Liam asked.
"I bet she'll be back," said Kathy. "I bet she'll come and she'll have a bottle and she'll throw it into the sea again. I bet the seals will take it and swim it down and open it with their mermaid friends. I bet she speaks mermaid and writes it too, and she's writing secret mermaid notes and they're so cute and sweet, I bet."
Kathy talked the whole way down the path. Connor would look at Liam and roll his eyes, but Liam didn't mind it. He and the twins were fast becoming friends, and so what if Kathy was a little chatty? At least she was always excited about whatever they were doing. It was infectious. It made Liam excited, too. They reached the beach, again no sign of the seals, and hid in their place in the tall grass. It was a long, hot wait, but finally, Mr. Carver's wife appeared again, stumbling out of the trail. Her mottled gray fawn hair was matted with sweat, and her black pearl eyes were shining warily. She had another bottle with another note inside. She picked her way across the sand to the edge of the waves, letting the water wash over her feet that Liam realized were bare. She had walked down that steep, rocky trail with no shoes.
"What's she waiting for?"
Connor whispered. Liam shrugged, but Kathy had the answer.
"The seals! They aren't here yet!"
That seemed right to Liam. The four of them waited, Liam and the twins watching the woman's back as she stared out at the sea. Finally, in the distance, a seal poked its head out of the waves. A second later, a rock crashed down in the water next to it. The seal flipped and fled back under the water.
"Now you've done it!"
It was Mr. Carver, carrying his shillelagh club in his right hand and throwing another rock into the sea with his left. He was wearing his ash-gray cloak and black tarred hat, even in the summer sun.
"I told you not to leave the house and I find you here. You don't know how good you have it."
He grabbed her by the arm and began pulling her back up the trail, berating her all the way. The message in a bottle slipped unnoticed from her hands and landed silently in the sand.
"You're never happy. Always staring out at that stupid ocean I saved you from. You want to go back? You really think they'd take you back? Selkie, 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 what am I supposed to do with you, Selkie?"
As they started climbing the trail, she looked back at the bottle longingly. When she looked up, her eyes met Liam's through the grass. Her eyes widened with surprise, but she looked from the bottle to Liam to the ocean and mouthed a silent word. "Help." That was it. Then they were gone, up the trail and back to the manor.
"He can't treat her like that,"
Kathy said after they were safely out of earshot.
"He can't treat her like that at all. No one should treat anyone like that. Do you think her name is Selkie? All Selkie wanted to do was be friends with the seal. All Selkie wanted to do was be friends with the mermaid. Liam, where are you going?"
Liam was crossing the sands. He picked up the bottle that Selkie had dropped. The note inside was written on yellow legal paper curled into a roll, but he could see the first word of the first line. "Help," it read. Liam turned and threw the bottle into the sea. It splashed down and, a moment later, a seal surfaced and pulled it back under.
"Nice throw,"
grinned Connor.
"Now come on, we gotta go."
"Go where?"
"Me father's the constable, remember? Crazy Carver won't get away with this."
The three practically ran up the steep trail into the twins' house, but their father wasn't home. He wasn't parked at the tiny wooden police station either.
"Must be out on call," said Kathy. "Now what do we do?"
"We can ask me gram,"
Liam said. She'll have an idea. When the three of them burst into the cottage, Graham was sitting in her chair working on a crossword puzzle.
Liam, did you come home for lunch? And you brought friends. Connor, Kathy, how are you today?
Good, Mrs. Cullen.
Good, Mrs. Cullen,
the twins chorused. Liam was about to tell Graham about Mr. Carver, but something about the name Selkie was bothering him. It was something his mom used to sing to him, but what could it be?
Graham, he said. Have you ever heard the name Selkie?
Graham smiled, set aside her crossword, and sang out suddenly.
Come to me, my little Selkie, let the waves wash you ashore. Slip your skin and wag your whiskers, and we'll dance like years before. When at last the dancing's over, return once more to sandy shore. Don your skin and don your whiskers, and swim away back into lore.
That's it, cried Liam. Mom used to sing that to me as a lullaby when I was a kid.
And I used to sing it to her,
said Graham with a smile.
But what does it mean? Asked Kathy. How can you slip your skin? How can you have whiskers? How can you swim away into lore? It's not a mystery, child, Graham said kindly. A Selkie is an old bit of magic, or lore, if you prefer. Supposedly, a Selkie is a kind of fairy folk. It lives as a seal in the water, but when it comes on dry land, it can slip off its sealskin and transform into a human, though without a human voice. It's just a story, though, like a red man or a leprechaun. The old sailors used to say if you found a Selkie skin and kept it from them, they would be in your power until they got their skin back. Selkies are a beautiful sort, so it's many a sailor that dreamed of one day finding a Selkie skin to steal.
Crazy Carver's wife! She's not named Selkie. She is a Selkie,
Connor cried. Graham looked at him with disappointment.
Crazy Carver? Where are your manners, Connor? And I'm sure Mr. Carver's young wife isn't a Selkie any more than you two redheads are a pair of leprechauns. Leave the poor woman alone. Now who wants lunch?
Liam and the twins all looked at each other. They didn't dare push their luck any further with Graham. She made them sandwiches of thick cheese and mutton, and they were out the door before the last bite was swallowed. They walked down the street to the shade of an old bird cherry tree.
She's a Selkie, said Connor again. She has to be. It makes perfect sense.
I don't know, said Kathy. If she's a Selkie, then where's her skin? Her sealskin, I mean. She wouldn't just leave it around. If I had a sealskin, I would hide it real good. I would keep it where no one could ever get it. So where's hers?
Liam scowled, thinking of the strangely beautiful woman standing on the widow's walk, gazing longingly at the sea, of her throwing bottles to the seals. Mostly, though, he thought of the single, silent plea for help she had given him.
She's a Selkie, all right, and Crazy Carver has her skin somewhere. He's trapped her, like Graham said, forced her to be his wife by keeping her sealskin hidden away.
That's right, said Connor, punching the air. But where would he hide it? He wouldn't leave it in the house, not when she's there alone so often.
His office, said Kathy. He has that office in Derry. I bet that's where he keeps it. I bet he has a big old safe and he keeps it locked up tight. I bet it's wrapped in chains and padlocks and tied down and he has a guard that's there all day and night.
How far away is this office?
Liam asked. Connor looked up at him with a sly grin.
You got a bike?
Chapter 4. Thieves in the Night. It was dusk when Connor, Kathy, and Liam set out on their bikes, and full dark by the time they reached Mr. Carver's office in Derry. The parking lot was empty, the building dark. They leaned their bikes against the brick exterior and tried the door.
Locked, said Liam,
but when he turned to look at the twins, skinny little Kathy was already worming her way through a half-shut window.
Dad is going to be so mad if we get caught, she was saying.
Then let's not get caught,
Connor replied, pushing her the rest of the way through the window. She hit the ground inside with a thump. A minute later, she swung open the front door.
You boys coming in or what?
Inside was disappointingly plain. There was a small bathroom where Kathy had entered, but the rest was just one big room. There was a stout wooden desk facing the door, a rolling chair that still had Mr. Carver's ash gray rain cape draped over it, and a bookcase lining one wall, but that was it. No safe, no vault, no anything, really.
Maybe behind the bookcase,
Connor said, but without much hope. The twins started tugging on books, looking for a hidden panel. Liam sat at the desk and rifled through the drawers. A few paperclips and office supplies in the top drawer, and a thick book in the second, half the pages dog-eared. Liam pulled it out and sat it on the desk. The title was written in Gaelic. His gram could have read it, but Liam had never bothered to learn the language. He did recognize one word, though. Selkie, right at the end.
Either of you two know Gaelic?
A bit, said Kathy. Me nan tried to show me some, but I never much liked it.
Can you read this? Liam asked, spinning the book around to face her.
Kuntas a Camel air a Selkie, Kathy said. Oh, I think it means hunting the Selkie, something like that.
All three of them were leaning over the book now. Connor flipped it open to a random page. Inside was more Gaelic, thick knots of it that even Kathy couldn't translate. But someone had drawn all over it with Sharpie in English. The margins were full of notes like, West Coast? And migration pattern is every 5 years.
He's been planning this. He's been looking for a Selkie for years, said Liam. Guys, said Kathy.
And now he has one, said Connor.
Hey, boys, said Kathy.
And we have no idea where he hid her skin.
Oi, you langers, yelled Kathy.
What?
I think I found the Selkie skin.
She was holding Mr. Carver's ash gray rain cape. Up close, Liam could see it wasn't one color the whole way through. There were mottled spots of fawn around the trim and fine, thin whiskers on the hood.
Kathy, said Liam, you're amazing.
They were caught suddenly in a wash of headlights through the front window of the office. It was an old Ford, painted a chipped and faded sky blue.
Oh, no, said Connor. That's Mr. Carver's car.
They heard the car door open and then slam shut again. Heavy footsteps crossed the parking lot.
Quick, Kathy said, the bathroom.
Liam pulled the Selkie skin cape around his shoulders and fastened it in front with a thick black button Mr. Carver had sewn on. The three ran into the bathroom and closed the door most of the way, crouching in the dark. Mr. Carver's keys rattled in the lock.
Did anyone remember to lock it again?
Asked Connor, but no one had. Mr. Carver pushed in. They could see him cross the room through the crack in the door.
Forgot to lock it, you're getting old, bloody fool,
he was grumbling to himself.
Forget the skin, forget the lock. That's how you lose a Selkie, you git.
He's looking for the skin, hissed Liam. Quick, out the window.
The boys boosted Kathy through, and then Connor gave Liam a boost. Once through, Liam turned to help pull Connor up. When he was halfway through, Mr. Carver burst into the room.
You little thieves, give it back.
He grabbed Connor's feet and began to pull him back into the room. Liam and Kathy had Connor's hands and pulled back as best they could, but Mr. Carver was stronger.
Don't let him get me,
Connor cried, slowly being pulled back into the bathroom. Liam and Kathy gave a last, mighty tug, and Connor came tumbling out, one of his shoes still in Mr. Carver's grip. He tried to follow them, but he was too big to fit. Just his angry, gnarled head came through.
Give me back my cape, he roared.
The three hopped on their bikes and started to pedal like mad. It was 3 miles back to Ardnock. They couldn't hope to beat Mr. Carver.
But what else can we do? Thought Liam.
The old Ford started with a roar and came thundering down the road behind them, the headlights splashing over the road and growing brighter and brighter.
What do we do?
Liam cried. Connor and Kathy looked at each other.
We'll take the woods way, said Connor. Keep your head down and follow me.
The Ford grew louder and louder, accelerating fast. Liam imagined it sounded like an angry shark. Connor veered his bike suddenly off the road and into the trees, Kathy a tire length behind him. Liam followed, careful to keep his head low. They plunged through the darkness, tires bouncing wildly over roots and stones, branches whipping at their faces. The light of the full moon filtered down through the trees, not enough to see the trail, but enough for Connor to find his way, apparently. Chapter 5. A Leap of Faith. They finally crashed back through the brush and onto the road. Liam could see the lights of Ardnock just ahead.
We made it! Kathy cried,
but as they pulled up to Liam's house, they could see two cars parked wildly on Mr. Carver's lawn. The first was Mr. Carver's own blue Ford. The second was the constable's police car.
Dad! Dad!
Said Connor, running over, Liam and Kathy on his heels.
What's going on here? Kathy, Connor, Liam, Mr. Carver said you robbed his office. What do you have to say for yourselves?
Mr. Carver glared at them darkly, one gnarled fist clasped tight on his shillelagh club. In the dark, it was hard to tell where the old man ended and the dark club began.
"He's a liar," Liam said. "His wife is a Selkie and he's been keeping her prisoner."
"Liam," said the constable, "Selkies aren't real. Please leave Mr. and Mrs. Carver alone."
"I'll have me keep back, constable," said Mr. Carver.
"No," Liam yelled, backing towards the manor. "Selkie! Selkie, if you're in there, I have your skin. You can have it back. You don't have to be afraid. You aren't alone."
"Yes, we're here to help," said Kathy. "You can go back to the ocean."
"You shut those brats up or I'll have to do it," said Mr. Carver.
"You don't talk to me kids like that,"
the constable said. The back door of the house swung open. The Selkie stood in the doorway, beautiful with her mottled hair and pearl black eyes and long white nightdress. She ran to Liam and wrapped him in a tight hug, taking the cape from his shoulders and holding it up to the moonlight with a triumphant smile.
"You keep that skin away from the Selkie,"
Mr. Carver roared, and he knocked the constable sprawling with a swing of his shillelagh. Everything seemed to freeze. Liam saw the constable on the ground, Kathy and Connor calling out for him. He saw Mr. Carver advancing on him, club held high. He saw the Selkie, grin turning into a look of pure fear.
"Run!"
he said, pushing the Selkie towards the house and throwing himself at Mr. Carver's feet. The old man tripped over him and went sprawling with a curse. The Selkie stumbled and ran into the house. With an angry, wordless roar, Mr. Carver rose and chased after her. The constable pulled Liam to his feet, half his face a dark purple bruise.
"Sorry, kids. Should have believed you," he said. "Wait here."
He went charging into the house, police baton at the ready. Connor waited a second and then ran after him.
"He said to wait,"
Kathy said, but when Liam followed Connor, she came too. They raced through the manor, the Selkie silent, Mr. Carver bellowing every step, slamming his club into the walls, the constable hurrying to catch up, the kids on his heels. They went up a staircase and then another, winding up and up until they came out onto the widow's walk, awash in moonlight.
"That's it,"
said Mr. Carver. The Selkie had her back pressed against the railing, her sealskin fastened around her neck.
"Nowhere to go, Selkie. Now give back the skin."
The constable, Liam, and the twins burst through the door, just in time to watch the Selkie leap from the widow's walk. The constable tackled Mr. Carver, cuffing the old man's hands behind his back. Liam and the twins ran to the railing and looked down, watching the Selkie fall. Liam would never forget the way she looked, her mottled hair streaming behind her, those pearl-black eyes shining bright in the light of the full moon, her dress loosely billowing around her body like a cloud, the ash-gray rain cape of her skin clasped around her neck and streaming out behind her like a superhero's cape. She fell for a long time. Finally, the dark and raging waters of the ocean below seemed to swallow her up.
"Is she okay? What happened?"
Kathy asked.
"That's a long fall. How deep is the water? Is the water deep enough?"
The constable joined them at the railing, wrapping his arms protectively around the kids.
"Let's go, kids," he said.
"Wait," cried Liam. "Look!"
A strange creature burst from the waves. Half woman, half seal, it seemed to skip joyously across the water. It dove under smoothly and emerged a second later, this time as a seal, one with mottled gray and fawn fur and large, shining, pearl-black eyes.
"Well, I'll be," the constable whispered.
Liam, Connor, and Kathy all cheered. As he hugged and yelled out his excitement with his two new friends, tears of happiness standing in his eyes, Liam realized Dublin didn't have all the excitement after all. After that night, the seals never came back to the hidden beach at the base of the cliff, but Liam didn't mind. He saw them plenty in his dreams.
The end. Today's story, The Sealskin Girl, was an original story written for you by Daniel Hines and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. Tune in for a brand new story next week and stay safe. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.